Good morning, everyone. My name's Chris Thompson. I'm lifeboat crew here in Moles Next to Sea. And this morning I'm sitting with Mandy Humphreys, who's also lifeboat crew. She's also water safety officer for RNLI. But when she's not being that serious, you'll find her down at the East Quay, bobbing around in circles, wearing a strange orange hat, towing a float and doing what she calls swimming. So we thought we'd take this opportunity just to talk to Mandy and find out what's good about Wells, what's bad, what her experiences are, and maybe give you a bit of a guide if you feel like having a swim in Wells. Where's a good place to do it? Where's a bad place to do it? And so on. So, Mandy, how long have you been swimming in Wells?
So we had a caravan in Wells for 15 years before we moved to Wells 5 years ago. So I guess I've been swimming in Wells about 20 years.
Gosh. And where would you say is the best place to swim generally?
My number one spot for swimming is the designated swimming area on Wells Beach, which is just between the Coast Watch over towards the beach huts. The harbour office have put nice yellow buoys there to show clearly where the swimming area is. It's really nice there. You're not in the main part of the channel, so the currents are very benign there. And it's nice and sheltered. You're sheltered from the west and from the south if the wind's blowing.
Just imagine I don't know Wells very well. Where exactly is this? I mean, if I'm in the car park by the beach cafe, how do I get to this area?
So if you're in the car park at the end of Beach Road, if you go up towards the lifeboat station, past the beach cafe, down past Coast Watch, you'll see there's a slipway and there's a little bridge. Cross over the bridge and you'll see all the lovely, brightly coloured beach huts. If you stand with your back to the beach huts and look out to sea, you'll see there's sort of like a pool, for want of a better expression, that off of the main channel, and you'll see about six big yellow buoys that show you where the swimming area is.
Okay, so it's between the buoys and the beach, is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and why is it the channel doesn't get in there? I don't understand.
So As the channel comes round the corner in front of the boathouse, the water slows and the sand there is quite low and that area floods. But it's really nice because it's a very shallow sloping, so the water floods in very slowly and floods out very slowly. And you get nice big warm puddles in the summer for the kids to play in and make sandcastles.
Okay, and it's also lifeguarded in the summer, isn't it?
That's right. This area's lifeguarded. It's over the kids' holidays, so July and August.
Okay. One thing, I mean, it is quite... it's next to a seal colony, so is that an issue when you're swimming?
So, I've never had an issue with the seals. At high water, when I tend to swim, and that's when the water's, you know, the fullest in the swimming area, the seals are out fishing. So they're out doing their own thing, feeding. You tend to see seals on the beach at low water when they're resting. I have had the joy of having some seals come and have a look at me. They are very inquisitive animals, but in the water, you're not threatening to them at all. I wouldn't approach a seal in the water or on the beach for that matter. You know, they're minding their own business and I'm minding my own business.
Okay, so you're saying don't sort of chase after them. But
no,
if they
definitely
come up to you, just look the other way, keep swimming, not worry too much about it.
Yeah, they're not in the water. They're not going to harm you in the water. They're not threatened in the water. They're fabulous swimmers and they know that they're better swimmers than we are, so they're not in any danger in any way. The only thing that I would be a little bit careful of is if you have a mother with young seals, just give them a wide berth, that's all. But in the general, the seals don't tend to come into the swimming area.
Okay. So, sounds like a great place for a first swim in Wells, but when you've done it a few times, where else would you swim in the harbour?
So, swimming in the channel can be fun. You do need to be careful. The channel where the red and green buoys is designated the deepest part of the channel, and that is where big vessels are going in and out. So you do need to be very careful doing that. And the water is moving in and out of the harbour quickly. So you do need to know about the tide, the state of the tide, and whether the tide's going in or out.
Okay, so first of all, just spotting the channel. So if I'm in this idyllic place that you've described with the playful seals and so on, you're talking about the red and green buoys that are a bit further out. Is that what you mean?
That's exactly right.
So just avoid that area.
Yeah, so in the swimming area, keep to the beach side of the yellow buoys to stay inside the designated swimming area.
Okay, and you mentioned tides. So I think you've put out quite a bit of publicity about how to get tides, but just for the benefit of this, just how can you know when high water is in Wells?
So you can know when high water is in Wells on the toilets in the beach road on the toilets behind the beach road. They have two clocks there that tell you when Wells Bar high tide time is. There is a board on the outside of Coastwatch telling you when high tide is. If you look in the window of the RNLI boathouse and on the water safety boards on the other side of the path, there are tide times there. And during the lifeguard season, the lifeguards have tide times up. And also, of course, you can ask a lifeguard.
Okay.
And so, there's also Googling for Wells Bar high tide time.
Excellent. Okay. So if I turn up at Wells and let's say it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it says high water is at 6 o'clock. What does that mean to me if I'm about to go swimming?
So the thing that I do is I like to swim at high tide because the water is what I would call slack there. So I don't like being pulled around by the tide. I like to go for a swim and I like to go as far or as short as I want to go. So I like to go around the high tide mark. The water's moving at its slowest an hour either side of high tide. So that's the time that I tend to go swimming. I would say that the water is still moving, so if you're not a strong swimmer, it may still pull you. So you do need to be careful when you're swimming in the sea and respect the water. But either side of high tide, for me, is the safest time to go swimming.
Okay. So moving away from the beach completely, I mean, if you've been to Wells, you'll see there are lovely sort of creeks and marshes and chip shops and amusement arcades and things. I mean, where else, if you don't fancy a swim on the beach, where else can you go for a swim?
So there are slipways in Wells Town down by the quayside that you can go in swimming from. So the harbour itself, where all the boats are moored by the harbour office, you're not allowed to swim in that area. It's a very dangerous area to swim. Boats are mooring and doing quite complex manoeuvres in the harbour, and they're not expecting swimmers. So keep well away from that harbour area.
Yeah, to be fair, it's quite a small area as well, isn't it?
It is, it is. So once you pass the gantry on the quay side and you start to go along towards the East Quay, you'll see there is a slipway by Shipwrights. There's another slipway by the sailing club, and then beyond the fishermen's sheds, there is another slipway by the boatyard. I tend to use the slipway by the boatyard because it's the furthest away from the harbour area where most of the boats are moving. I try very hard to keep well out of the way of any boats.
Okay, and it's all right to swim down there. You're allowed to swim in that part of the harbour, yeah?
You are allowed to swim in that part of the harbour.
Okay. Okay. And is it muddy down there?
It can be muddy, yes. That's one of the advantages of being in my number one designated swimming area up on Wells Beach, because that's beautiful and sandy. If you go in off of the boatyard, be prepared to get quite a lot of mud on you.
Okay, but it washes off.
It washes off, yes, it washes off.
Jolly good. And there's enough water to have a nice little swim, yeah?
Yeah, so there's normally plenty of water. On some very small tides, you might find that you can stand down almost everywhere in the channel. But to be honest, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing, being able to stand down. You don't have to be out of your depth to be able to swim.
Okay, so you talked about two areas, Mandy. So there's down the beach, sounds idyllic. This area down what we call the East End, down where the fishermen sheds are, sounds good. What about the area between town and the beach?
You will notice as you walk from the harbour office to the lifeboat station, there are red and green buoys actually quite close to the pavement side of the channel. That is the deepest part of the channel, and you will have big boats, big fishing vessels navigating up and down there. So I wouldn't swim in there at all. Even if there's no boats in there, it shelves away very quickly. So you can be in your depth 1 minute and well out of your depth the next minute.
Okay, and there's also another part of the harbour that's dear to my heart where I keep my boat, which is just by the lifeboat station. There's that little marina there of boats. I wouldn't swim in there because the tide doesn't flow through there. All that happens is birds go to the toilet in there and it becomes progressively more uncomfortable for swimmers.
I think swimming in what we call the outer harbour, just behind the lifeboat station, is not a good idea, apart from the fact that you have the issue with so many birds and the water. Also, you have boats, quite large boats, in quite a restricted area manoeuvring, and they will not be looking for swimmers. Okay. And if a boat hits you, that is, you know, potentially life-changing or life-threatening.
Okay, so let's assume now that the tide is completely out, so we can't swim down at the East End because there's no water there. The swimming area is completely dry. Where would you go if you just fancied a dip then?
So at low water, when I fancy a dip at low water, I go past the designated swimming area.
On the beach.
Yeah. On the beach.
Okay.
Into the channel. By then, because there's not enough water at low water, there's not enough water for the boats to come in and out, so you haven't got that worry. You can go in. I go in there at low water. I don't go in there when the tide is going out. The water moves very quickly. It funnels very quickly out to the sea, and it can sweep you out to sea. Keep well away from the harbour mouth.
Okay, but at low water, it's a nice place to swim, yeah?
At low water, it's a lovely place to swim when the water's not moving very quickly. You can have a lovely time.
Which, to be fair, I mean, the water doesn't move for about 3 or 4 hours, does it? Because the sea goes out and then it sort of takes a long while to come back in. So you've got a good spell.
In the water?
Yeah.
Much outside that hour, outside the hour, but either side of low water, I wouldn't swim outside of that in that channel.
All right then, okay. Okay, so now, what about the cold? So I'm guessing in the summertime you do wear a swimming costume.
I do in the northeast, they call it a bather. But
But what else would you wear in summertime?
The thing I would say is I go swimming all the time here, so I'm habituated to cold water. So even in the summer, the water around the whole country is cold. So being careful with the cold water is really important. So yes, you can wear a wetsuit or a bathing costume or whatever it is. The most important thing, I think, is to be aware of how cold you're getting. And if you feel your core body temperature starting to drop, get out of the water straight away. Once your core body temperature starts to drop, it drops very quickly and you start losing power in your muscles. You start cognitively, you start not making the best decisions. And that's not good to be in the water. So as soon as I feel my core body temperature starting to drop, I get out of the water straight away, whatever time of the year it is.
Okay, so that's just general advice. It's not so much to do with what you're wearing. It's just be aware of how cold you are.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. And if you were feeling a bit more adventurous and you thought, you know, autumn, spring, winter or whatever, would you wear more than a bathing costume or just a bathing costume?
So the thing that affects me more than anything is the wind when you get out. So when you get out of the water, you're obviously wet, and if it's windy, that's when you get really cold. So in the winter, I tend to wear a wetsuit with hands and feet as much as anything to help me stay in the water a little bit longer and enjoy the bliss of being in the water a little bit longer. Okay. But
what,
as much as any
wetsuit are you talking about?
So I have a triathlon suit, so actually it's a very thin suit, and then I've got separate boots and mittens that I wear in the water. But as I say, it just helps to protect you from the wind as much as anything when you get out the water.
Okay. And I've seen some people wearing sort of hats and toeflets and things. Is that something you'd advocate or something?
Yeah, so in the designated swimming area, whilst it's nice to have a brightly coloured hat and toe float on, it's not essential. If you're swimming anywhere else, I think it's really important. The more visible you are, the less likely you are to be hit by something that's moving. So having a brightly coloured hat is really important. I must say, when I first got a toe float, I was a little bit sceptical about how useful it is, but I'm a complete convert now. They're amazing. They make you really, really visible. There's no drag on them, which was the thing I was worried about. There's no drag on them. They make you really visible. And also, if you happen to get cramp or anything, you've got something that can float, you can hang on to it, sort yourself out, and then carry on swimming. So they're really useful to A, to make you visible, and B, to have something that, a little safety mechanism that you can hang on to. And also, most of the tow floats these days, you can actually put your car keys or whatever it is inside them and keep them dry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's really useful.
Okay, and are these things, I mean, you can just buy them on Amazon or something? What do you do?
Yeah, you can buy tow floats, you can get them everywhere. I would recommend getting one with fluorescent stripes on, and as I say, in mine, I can store car keys or whatever it is inside it before I inflate it, so that's really useful.
Okay, and just, if I can come in on that, as you know, Mandy, I used to drive the ferry here, and quite often we would go down east beyond the area you said is a good swimming area, the fishermen's sheds. If you're then coming back towards town with the sun reflecting off the window, the mirror, sun reflecting off the water, you cannot see swimmers at all unless they have got something bright that highlights them. They just look like ripples in the water.
You are right,
it sounds stupidly excessive and stupidly kind of like, oh, you know, we've got to be so precious about this, but in Wells it's a good idea.
I wear my brightly coloured hat in the winter as well, in the summer as well. The other thing I do is, if I can see something coming, I get well to the side, where right out of the way of the boats. I also give them a little wave just to make sure that they know that I'm there, and that helps alert them to the fact that there might well be other swimmers in the water.
Okay, but having said that, I mean, it's not a particularly crowded harbour, is it?
No, not at all. But sometimes that is what catches people out, where people are not expecting, especially in the winter, people are not expecting swimmers to necessarily be in the water. So as a swimmer, you need to be hyper alert, especially if you're training for something and you're doing crawl and you've got your head in the water. You need to make sure that you're alert to your surroundings. You know, there's boats that are moving that are being helmed. There's also boats that are moving on moorings that can also damage you badly if they hit you.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what about if you're swimming down on the beach in this area with the yellow boys and you get terrible cramp or you're winded or something, what should you do?
So wherever you're swimming, If something happens and you lose control of your breathing and you start to panic a bit, do exactly what I tell the kids in the schools to do, form a starfish. Float on your back and form a starfish. Gives you a chance to get your breath back, give yourself a few seconds to think about what's happened and what you're going to do. Once you've got your breath back, A, you can think better, but B, as I say to the kids, you can call for help and you can swim better. So the chances of you being able to swim to safety yourself without any help from anybody else is much increased when you've got control of your own breathing.
Okay. Okay. And I think I've seen you taking a phone. How nice is that, right? Do you do that?
Yeah, I do. My phone with my waterproof pouch comes practically everywhere with me. So one of the things I'm conscious of is as I'm swimming all the year round, sometimes there aren't loads of people about. So I have a phone in a waterproof pouch around, with a lanyard around my neck. So if I was to get into difficulty, or anybody I was with was got into difficulty, we can call for help from the water.
Okay. So just to recap then, you're saying first time in Wales, great place to go swimming, go down to the beach, the designated area. There's lifeguards, coast watch, buoys, the boats are out of the way. Nice place for a swim.
Yeah.
Low water, head down to the beach. It's pretty obvious, you can see where the sea is. Have a nice little dip down there. And if you're feeling a bit more adventurous, go down to the east end of town where the fishermen's sheds are, on the green shed. Have a little swim off the slip. Yeah. Those are your kind of hot spots, yeah?
Yeah, those are my hot spots, yeah.
Okay. And you're saying make sure you can be seen?
Definitely.
Remind me all the things that you've said really quickly.
Definitely. Make sure you can be seen. You know, you are the one that is going to come the worst off if you get hit by a boat, so avoid that from happening.
Make sure you stay warm.
Make sure you stay warm. Make sure somebody knows where you've gone and when you're going to be back, so that if you're not back, by the time you say, they can raise the alarm for you. The other thing I would say is keep out of the way of boats, not just boats that are moving, but boats that are moored. They've got chains and ropes that are keeping them in position, and you don't want to get tangled up in them.
Okay. So, I mean, there's plenty of harbour left. If you keep your way out, keep away from
there's
moving
boats.
There's
loads of harbour.
Keep yourself warm. Make sure someone knows that you've gone. Make sure you can be seen. And just have fun, really, don't you?
Yeah, I've great fun.
Yeah, and I mean, you love swimming in the harbour, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely lovely. I mean, I like to be in the cold water, but it's just lovely being held by the water, listening to the oyster catchers flying over and the geese. And you do see the occasional seal, in the water, and they're fun to see, and they'll come and have a look at you.
Okay. Well, Mandy, that's really, really helpful. I hope it's helpful to those of you that are listening. And it will encourage you, if you are coming in to Wales, to say, come on, we know where to go swimming. We'll have a bit of fun here. I hope you come, and hope to see you in town. Thanks for everything.
Thank you.